Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. I want to take a moment to thank Frank Eliason for producing our program this morning. And also want to thank Dale and Jane Meyer for their support of our show. Okay, we, as you know, Clear for Takeoff is focused on the upcoming readings for the weekend from the Old and New Testament. And this is the 26th Sunday of Ordinary Time. And it is a privilege right here, my friends, on the air to deliver you the message of the gospel. And so we're going to get right into it today. And I want to say thank you for all of our listening audience for taking the time out of your day to tune in with us each and every week. And I hope once again that you had the opportunity to make a donation or contribution to our Radiothon, which took place last week. In any case, God bless you and keep us in prayer. And now we're going to get into our readings. Okay, our first reading this morning is from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 25 to 29. And here it is. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. Taking some of the spirit that was on Moses, the Lord bestowed it on the 70 elders. And as the spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied. Now two men, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, were not in the gathering, but had been left in the camp. They too had been on the list, but had not gone out of the tent. Yet the Spirit came to rest on them also, and they prophesied in the camp. So when a young man quickly told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, Joshua, son of Nun, who from his youth had been Moses' aide, said, Moses, my lord, stop them. But Moses answered them, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And it's a powerful reading today from the book of Numbers, my friends. Because once again, the Lord shows us that he came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses, taking some of his spirit that was on Moses, and the Lord bestowed it on 70 other elders. And as the spirit came to rest on each of them, they prophesied. So I ask you the question, my friends, what has the Lord bestowed on you? What has he given you, and how has it changed your life? What gifts, my friends, do you and I have to be thankful for? And sometimes we take them for granted. What gifts are we not using that the Lord has given us? In this case, we see that the Lord has given the Spirit, the gift of prophecy, to 70 elders. And, you know, Moses is just a tremendous example of what God can do with a man, as is Abraham and so many other of the biblical names that we speak of often each and every week, like the apostles and St. Paul. And there's just so many examples of how God can use people in whatever way he wants. But today, my friends, we too have gifts and we must use them. And it's kind of like a flower that doesn't get watered. It can die or it can bloom if we continue to water it. If we continue to use the gifts that God has given us, truly, you know, they will continue to grow and blossom. And in the reading here from the book of Numbers, we want to talk a little bit about jealousy here, because jealousy is it's a motive for murder. We know that from the examples we see in the Wings program in prison with incarcerated men, without question. But also in everyday life, jealousy can divide us. And here Moses calls him on the table and he says, Joshua, son of Nun, who from his youth had been Moses' aide, said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses answered him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all." And so Moses clearly has, you know, the Lord in mind and has him as a first priority, the highest priority. And whatever the Lord wants to do is going to be okay with Moses. He has full trust in God, full trust in our Lord Jesus. And it's powerful. But we as humans sometimes, you know, will experience jealousy. And this is an attribute that truly divides us. It doesn't bring people together. It doesn't unify us. And jealousy, like envy and selfishness and bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, prejudice, and the superego, things that divide us have to be put into their place, minimized, eliminated. And truly, through prayer, God can do this for us. But we want to be conscious of the fact that God gives many gifts to people. And we want to acknowledge the wonderful ways that God works in other people and not be jealous of them, but be thankful that God has given those gifts to those people who are doing God's work, who are helping to build up the great kingdom of God. And it's powerful. And, in Jeremiah 1:5, the word of God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet." And so we all have within us the potential to prophesy, to really do the Lord's work. And if the Lord decides to give us that opportunity, it'll be a tremendous day for us. Many are called, few are chosen. And if we are called to speak out, to stand up for God strong and the morals, values, ethics, and biblical principles that God calls us to stand up for, then we will do it. So whatever the Lord wants to do with other people, it should be acknowledged as a beautiful thing. And there are many examples of that, many gifts. Some of us have the great gift of hospitality. Some of us have the gift of preaching or teaching or confessing. Everybody has different gifts, and we all bring them to the table of the Lord. And that's powerful. But we want to acknowledge that we want to give credit where credit is due. And we don't want to be jealous. Instead, we want to acknowledge the great ways that God is working through that individual. Okay. I want to move forward now to our second reading, which is from the book of James. James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. And here it is. "Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Your wealth has rotted away. Your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver corroded. And that corrosion will be a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. You have stored up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers you harvested, who harvested your fields are crying aloud. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of James today, we see, my friends, that the word of God is addressing the rich people who are very concerned about themselves and their futures. And the Lord points out through the book of James that some people will be weeping and wailing over their miseries, that their wealth has rotted away, their clothes have become moth-eaten, and their gold and silver corroded. And that corrosion will be a testimony against them. It will devour their flesh like a fire. But we see many people in the world who are working and doing well. Many people who are becoming wealthier. Today we have more millionaires in the world than ever before, and even billionaires. And there's nothing wrong with money, because you can do a lot of good with money. And there are tremendous examples of that. The question is, when people have a love for money and it becomes greater than our love for God, is that a problem in getting to heaven? Is that a problem in living through daily life? Because priorities can get mixed up and materialism can set in. But God calls us to really to share our wealth, our talents, our time, and our treasure, and to give back, to help to utilize those blessings, those financial blessings, in a positive way, to give back to the church, to take care of our families, our health, our friends and neighbors, whatever we can do for the least of our brothers. The Lord says, you have done it for me. And so sharing that blessing of financial stability is important. Once again, giving back to the people who are in need. This is one of the high priorities for us in a WING program. And we try to, you know, teach our men very often to give back 1 to 2 hours a week of time. But when they do actually become working and stable and credible and role models, to give back not only their time and their talents, but also some of their treasures. And to give back some of that, because, you know, the Lord has said that you have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. And this is important, because in the end of our lives, we cannot take anything with us. We come into the world empty-handed, we leave empty-handed. The most powerful gift that we ever had was the great gift of time, and that's now exhausted. But we cannot store up treasures for the final days and neglect the people who are doing the great work in the field, the harvesters. The people who have harvested the fields are crying aloud, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts, from the book of James. So the Lord hears the cry of the poor. The Lord hears and is attentive to bring justice, as he is a God of justice. He's an equalizer and makes things, you know, equal for all of us. True equality amongst people. And so, you know, once again, becoming wealthy, becoming rich is a goal for many people. But God calls us to share that wealth and to give back, to help people to also get through their days. And for some of us who are in the trenches, as the Lord was, there's all kinds of ways to do that and to really bring the love of God along with that utilization of funds that are available for those who have extra money. And so I encourage you, my friends, to continue to give back and to do it right here at Holy Spirit Radio whenever you can, because this is a platform to deliver the message of the gospel, a platform to touch the hearts and minds of other people in a positive way. And God calls us to do it and to not store up treasures just for ourselves and save them for the future, but to give back as much as we can and to continue to maintain our own individual stability for ourselves and our family. But what can you do for those who are out there in the trenches harvesting? This is important, my friends, and it's a lesson to us all, because once again, we cannot take it with us. God calls us to truly be generous. He loves a generous giver, and there's all kinds of ways that we can give back to the community, to our families and friends, and to the church. We are all of God's people. We are all one people, and God calls us to move forward and to understand, you know, his philosophy about storing up things for the future and not sharing our wealth. Okay, I want to go into the gospel reading now, which is from the Gospel of Mark, chapters 9 and verses 38 through 43, verse 45 and 47 to 48. And here it is. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go to Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worms does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Mark today, my friends, the Lord tells us, whoever causes one of these little ones to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and thrown into the sea. And today we see tremendous examples of people being misled by people in authoritative positions. Hence, we have a great need for the church and family life, because the true education that can take place within a home is very positive, very powerful. And through a mother and a father, a grandmother and grandfather in a home, we have opportunity each and every day to lead the children in the right direction. And through the Lord and His church, we have access to great people who are up at the pulpit delivering the message of the gospel and trying to protect and defend our children, right down to the unborn child within a mother's womb. We have opportunity from the pulpit to touch the hearts and minds of all people, but the children are our future, and God knows it. And he says, anyone who misleads the children, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. Because misleading the children who are confused, looking for guidance and direction from adults, looking for guidance and information from teachers each and every day as they attend elementary school, high school, university studies. But the elementary school kids are maybe most vulnerable, as they are truly at the mercy of the teacher at the head of the class. And today we have tremendous challenges for teachers and teachers' aides who are really in a position where they must do what is told to them by principals and by the National Education Association and by people in authoritative positions who run public schools, school boards, and beyond. And we see challenges, my friends, in schools today where teachers are unable to refer to students as him or her, he or she. And we see that, you know, even in other places within our communities where there is, you know, a need to be politically correct in our society. But my friends, we have to look at the Lord and what he tells us to do. And that people are born, you know, male and female. Okay. And this is important. And kids need to know, you know, what it is that God wants them to know and not just what school teachers have to teach. God's word truly is, you know, a basic instruction before leaving earth. It is critical that our kids are taught and led in the right direction and not misled and, you know, in a position where they're making mistakes or in a circle of influence that has a negative impact on their future. So as you look around in your life, who is impacting your child's mind? Where is it coming from? Where is the positive? Where is the negative? What can you do to help to protect and defend your child, which is so important? And God calls us to do it. He calls us to, you know, protect our kids from people who want to mislead them, who want to draw them in to a variety of different things, whether it be drugs, alcohol, you know, sex, lifestyle that is not conducive for family life. Things like this have to be acknowledged and understood so we can defend and protect our kids from being drawn in and succumb to situations which will put them in a bad position and hurt their minds, put them into, you know, depression. And sometimes, you know, those are very, very difficult situations to grow out of and to grow through. But again, you know, God calls us to be honest and forthright. He calls us to lead the children in the right direction. So in this program today, we want to just pray for our teachers out there, for our teachers' aides. We want to pray for our school boards and also for the unions out there, the National Education Association and the, you know, the State Education Association in Pennsylvania, New Jersey. We want to pray that God will enlighten the Holy Spirit with each of those, within each of those people today, where they will see the light and they will be touched in the heart and mind. And in that way, they will make the corrections necessary as we move forward and caring for our children, providing education for our children. We pray that the Lord will touch them and motivate them to do the right thing, not only for their own kids, but for all children in America and throughout the world, because all kids are vulnerable. We ask this through the intercession of our Holy Family and through Christ our Lord. Amen. But these are real challenges for us today, my friends, and we have to do everything we can to put good people in office so that we don't end up in a bad position and trying to pick up the pieces for our kids who have been misled or drawn into certain things and end up in bad situations. Okay, in the Gospel of Mark, we also want to acknowledge that the Lord says, you know, if your hand causes you to sin, he calls us to cut it off. So if you're touching things, taking things, we have to make that correction. And God calls us to do it. He doesn't want us to sin. He wants us to avoid sin. So whatever part of our bodies, whether it be our eyes, our hands, our feet, as acknowledged in the book of Mark today, we have to make the right choices, wise decisions, to avoid sin at all costs. And I know from working in prison that there are many men and women who are there for stealing and for burglaries and homicides, home invasions, theft, all kinds of activity. But on the outside of prison walls, my friends, there's also tremendous evidence of people who are doing things also every day. And we're all sinners. So we all have to avoid those opportunities that take us into sin. And through prayer and discipline, God can bless us and give us a whole new direction so that we don't move into those sinful ways. And whether it be, you know, unethical or immoral or illegal activity, God calls us to stay sin-free. And he wants us to do that so that we can line up with God and to live a good life. He also calls us to be role models for other people, especially our children and other people's children. So we want to show, you know, people the best you and I that we have. We want to live as role models and take good actions, help our kids to do the same. Very often there are, you know, kids in high schools who have ankle bracelets. And I've been to many high schools as a speaker, and people who are on probation and they're only 15, 16, or 17 because of some of the things they're getting into. There are all kinds of examples of, you know, activity that kids get into. But whatever we can do to avoid sin is something we need to do. We need to really work at it because we are vulnerable. We are weak at times. And once again, you know, it can be illegal activity, immoral activity, or unethical activity. God calls us to make the right decision and to be the best human beings that we can be. Okay, my friends, we're just about out of time. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege once again and a pleasure to be here on the air at Holy Spirit Radio. Our show today, Clear for Takeoff, is a blessing. And I want to thank Dale and Jane Meyer once again for believing in us and allowing us to go forward with this program. So as we always say in the Clear for Takeoff program, you know, there are four fundamentals that are required to go forward. Number one, we have to be have our Bibles open. We have to have love for God, quality time for God, and no distractions. So I hope you enjoyed the show, because now you, my friends, are clear for takeoff to use God's word and to implement some of the valuable scriptures we talked about today through the Gospel of Mark and the book of St. James. God bless you. May he bless you and your children with a lot of peace and love today. Have a great day. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.